We're here with Mark Bolter, Windows Forms guru. I'm sure many of you have heard about him out in the blogosphere. So tell us about yourself. What are you doing these days?
I'm a program manager on the Windows Forms team, and I have been for some considerable period of time now.
Okay.
And we're just finishing up our would-be release of Windows, well, the whole Visual Studio and the .NET framework, but obviously the piece I'm most focused on is Windows Forms, so we're kind of getting towards the end of the product cycle, fixing bugs, doing security reviews, you know, just trying to get things polished up and cleaned up, ready to ship. So.
Okay, and I noticed one of the problems with the first version was speed.
Mm-hmm.
And of course that was it wasn't just a Windows Forms problem, it was the framework. I've noticed it's a lot faster in Libby. I mean, it's noticeably faster.
Yeah, the biggest piece of feedback we got from customers with V1 was not so much around the speed of Windows Forms once it was up and running, but just it took a little while to start. And some of that was stuff we were doing. Some of it was stuff that the CLR, the framework itself would do, the core framework. And so we've done a chunk of work to try and make that faster. I'm glad it looks faster to you.
Oh, it does.
And we've also done a chunk of work in Visual Studio to because then on top of that, Visual Studio itself, if you look at kind of the cycle of coding, hitting F5, debugging, coding again, and compare that with, say, VB6 or VC6, it was quite a bit slower. So we've done a chunk of work in that space a lot to try and make that faster. So that's one of the many exciting things.
True. So what are some of the other cool things? I mean, I know there's click once, that kind of
thing. Yeah. So I think click once is about the most important feature that we've done in would-be to me. It really delivers on the work that we began with the first version of the framework that really makes it possible to build Windows apps again and deploy them in the same way that you can web apps. And so click once is the it feature as far as I'm concerned. Probably the ASP.NET guys would disagree with me, but I think it's the single most important feature we've done across the entire framework in the would-be time frame.
Fantastic.
And then we've just done a stack of polish work in Windows Forms, so the work we've done with the tool strips and menu strips, so you can finally build applications that look like Office, which is something customers have been asking us for, developers have been asking us for ever since I first started working on UI frameworks at Microsoft, which was a chunk of time. Every time you go to a conference, when are we going to be able to build applications that look like Office? And the answer is, well, you finally can, isn't that cool? So,
excellent.
So I'm pretty, and we've also got a new data grid control, which is one of the things I spent a chunk of time working on this product cycle with another one of the PMs and a couple of devs on our team. And I'm really excited about that as well. That's
fantastic.
It's a pretty cool control. So.
What's your history here? How long have you been here?
I think it'll be 8 years in March. I think it might be 7, but I think it's 8. And then before that, I worked as a technical evangelist for Microsoft in the UK for a bit, but that wasn't technical enough for me. Before that, I'd been a developer, and so I wanted to get back to working on products. And then before that, I worked as a consultant at Park Place, a company that produced a small talk development environment in the UK. And before that, I spent, I think, 9 years at IBM in the UK working on all kinds of things.
Okay.
In case tools and big client services.
And have you only been on the Windows Forms team here? Or?
I've been working on the same technology.
It's only 5 years, 4 years on that.
I've been on the Windows Forms team for the whole time it's here, but it's been this kind of cyclic thing where we started. Originally, I was working on what was at the time I think the RAD, the RAD business unit team, which was VJ and VB, and then it got split apart, and I was working on VJ, and then it moved back to VB again, and then we moved to the .NET framework team, and now we're back in what's called the RAD business unit, which is the .NET client team and the VB team, because we're kind of focused on client developers and the RAD developer experience. And so I've been doing it's quite a long time to be doing things, I think, but it's been fun for the most part. So.
Yeah. So I wanted to also talk to you today about smart clients.
Yeah.
Because when I think about smart clients, I hear the word thrown around a lot, and it's been for the past couple of years.
Yeah.
Definitions change. But one thing that seems to be consistent is Windows Forms. It's always a component for the client.
Yeah.
And so I just wanted to talk to you about, if you could tell us what a smart client is, in your opinion.
Well,
when's a good time to create one?
Yeah. So I used to have this really simple definition. If you wanted to have a smart client, it was Windows Forms. You know, as far as I was concerned, they were completely synonymous, and anything else was just marketing fluff.
Okay.
But I've actually, probably thank goodness for my career, changed my mind a little bit over the last year or so. Well, I think one of the things that's led to things being somewhat confused around it is that we've gone out and as the Windows Forms team and talked about what smart client means in terms of Windows Forms, and then if you look at the Office team have gone out and talked about what smart client means in terms of Office, and we kind of didn't talk about Office, and Office kind of didn't talk about us, and that in and of itself, beyond the defining what a smart client is, was kind of a confusing message. So one of the things we've been doing over the last year or so is, I hope anyway, is making a better job of talking about those two things together. So if you look at the work that VSTO guys are doing with being able to use Windows Forms and manage coding inside Office, I mean, they've done some really pretty exciting stuff in the would-be time frame. And so I guess I've stopped being such a narrow bigot about smart clients and broadened my definition. So I'd say... and it's kind of fluffy, and it's broad its definition. It's an application which takes advantage of horsepower on the client, so it isn't just using the PC as a fast HTML rendering engine.
Sure.
What are the key characteristics? Well, there are. I would say an application built using Office, an application built using Windows Forms, a smart client application by the fact that but
what does Microsoft get out of? Why do we care about smart clients? I mean, to me, it sounds a little bit like a marketing campaign, right?
And
for the geek out there, why do they care? I mean,
Well, it's for me as a developer, the reason I care is because I think it's easier to build. It's easier to build client applications. I mean, ASP.NET has done an absolutely fantastic job of making server side programming easy, but there's still hard problems like state management and those kind of things that you just don't have to deal with when you're building client applications. So for me, building client applications is easier. You can build a better user experience because you can build something that's much more interactive. You can pull data down to the client asynchronously and then process it on the client and those kind of things. So interactivity is a big part of it. Being able to take data offline, so it's I'm one of the kind of de facto smart client applications is something where I've got an application on my laptop and I can unplug it from the network, and I'm sitting in my hotel room in the evening typing up information with the customers I've seen that day. Well, I'm not necessarily connected to the network, and how do I build an application that without it being a smart client that does those kind of things. So I guess that those are really the three key things for me. You can just build a much better user experience. And obviously there are places where a browser-based experience works better. So if you're doing something like browsing documents or browsing a catalogue or that kind of thing, be it Amazon or eBay or so on and so forth, good examples of that. But if you're doing any kind of data entry or anything where you need to sort and filter information, any of the kind of things that are pretty typical in line of business applications, being able to do that on the client makes a lot more sense.
Right.
If you look at the demo we did with eBay at the eBay developers conference this year were basically what we showed was eBay have this client-side API written using managed code and .NET framework that talks to their web services, and so you can pull this in and you can program against it in VB and C#. And so what we demonstrated was how you could take that information, integrate it with your local backend systems, and then pull that information into Excel, manipulate it in Excel, do whatever calculations, that kind of thing, and then to take that into an application that kind of guided you through the selling process and integrated it into the inventory, your inventory system, so get that in sync with the information you got on eBay.
Right.
And all of these things are things that you can do in web-based applications, but you can just build a much richer experience.
Developers really have a choice between two approaches, right?
Yeah.
Reach, like the web, right?
Yeah.
If you code it right, it reaches everything from my little smartphone
to
Firefox to IE to da-da-da. And rich on one side, Flight Simulator is Windows APIs taken to the nth degree, right? That's completely a rich environment. How do you think developers should make their decision or architects should make their decision of where in that scale to pull? And can't some of the developers say, oh, Flash is good enough? Flash gives me most of the advantages of reach without. Tell me, pitch me on why I would HTML or...
It depends on the type of application you're building and your customer set and the problems you're trying to solve and that kind of thing. There are some things which are fairly clear-cut decisions. So, for example, I need to take my application offline. Well, you're going to build a Windows Forms application. End of story. If you need to go offline, if you've got something you want to run on a laptop, then... is a clear-cut decision. The other end of the spectrum, if you've got something where you want to target a heterogeneous computing environment, like you're building an e-commerce site or something like that, well, then you're probably going to use something that uses the lowest level of HTML that you can get away with in the way that Amazon do. And then between that, the things start to get more great. Well, can I build a better experience by caching data on the client? Like, if I cache this set of data on the client, does it actually offload processing for my service and make the service more scalable? What level of interactivity do I need to have in this application? Example would be I might build an expense reporting application as a web-based application, but if I actually have to manually go through multiple screens with multiple submits, one for each line in my application, that's going to be a really horrible user experience compared with, say, just being able to enter that data directly into Excel and submit the Excel spreadsheet process. So I wouldn't say there are obviously some design points which are clear-cut yes or no design points, and then beyond that, it's really about the business requirements. Do I have remote users where I have no control over the hardware they're using? Well, I'm probably going to build an ASP.NET application. Is it an application that people use once in a blue moon? Well, I'm probably going to build an ASP.NET application in that case as well. Is it something that somebody uses for their job every single day? Well, I'm probably going to build a Windows Forms application because I can do a significantly better job of making that interactive and responsive. I mean, Outlook is another classic example. Outlook Web Access is a pretty good web experience, but it completely sucks. Sorry, can I say so?
Sure.
It completely...
We've said worse on channel now already.
It completely sucks compared with Outlook 11. I mean, if you look at Outlook 11, Outlook used to get beaten up for being this really bad client-server application because it kind of locked while it went and talked back to the server and stuff, and they really nailed that in Outlook 11. I mean, the fact that whether you're connected to the network or not, it's almost completely transparent.
Right.
So Outlook 11 is a really great example of a smart client app and a really great example of why you want a smart client app compared, because you can do a direct comparison between the web access version and the client version. I know which one I'd rather be using to do my email on a daily basis. advantages of moving to .NET are really mostly about are about productivity. So I mean, if you it's just a significantly more productive environment. It's easier to write code. One of the things I've found as I've changed programming languages over the years, and I've got lazy as well, is how much time do you want to spend on housekeeping? How much time do you want to spend doing stuff that isn't about the problem you're trying to solve? And if you're having to do things like your own memory management, well, yes, in this particular case here, you can probably do a better job than we do in the general case, but you might also introduce three bugs, which are a complete nightmare to track down in doing that. And you're spending a lot of time doing something that has nothing to do with the problem you're trying to solve. You know, if I'm building an application that's about managing customers or managing inventory or that kind of thing, building my memory management system, I have to manage memory myself, has absolutely nothing to do with that. So,
do you have any user testing stats or develop? You know, how would you prove that it's faster?
I don't know. You'd have to ask our marketing guys. I mean, I haven't looked at that kind of data in a while.
Because we all have an intrinsic sense that it's faster because we work with it. But have we done user? Have you done user testing of study how developers code and what
The kind of testing that my team, the usability testing my team does, tends to focus on have we built a feature that's usable rather than the. You know, so one of the metrics we'd use in comparing V1.1 of Windows Forms with V2 is how many lines of code did I have to write to do that in V1.1 compared with doing the same thing in V2, or how many concepts did I have to understand? But we've really only done that comparison between different versions of Windows Forms, not really against Windows Forms versus other technologies.
Right.
That didn't really answer your question at all.
No.
Well, I mean, just being a developer, you know it yourself.
Yeah. I mean, it's
how do developers tell that? I mean, yeah. What's your test when you sit down with a new environment to tell?
Well, because in managed code, I can write a client application in 10 minutes, and in unmanaged code, I'll write the same application in an hour. That's how. Because in the unmanaged world, A, it's harder to do the UI. It's hard. I mean, MFC, even so, but nevertheless, UI is harder, memory management is harder, more bugs, the language is harder, right? In managed code, I can write in C#, which is a pretty simple language compared to C++. Regardless of whether or not I'm an expert C++ programmer, C# is easier. Yeah. VB, you know, I wouldn't do it in VB, but the point is, so that's how.
I'm a big fan.
Cool. Well, I never programmed in it. That's the only reason.
That's the thing. I am. Yeah. But I'm biased because I spend a lot of time programming in C++ and Smalltalk and Java before I came to Microsoft. And so one of the things I always wanted was kind of the language rigor that you get with C++ in terms of type safety and having to declare things and that kind of thing, combined with the kind of productivity features of Smalltalk, so the fact that it had memory management and Smalltalk was this environment where the things you had to do to program didn't get in the way of the task you were trying to do, in the same way that VB6 is, or I believe VB, certainly this version of VB.NET, Windows Forms are. But where I have to spend less time on the housekeeping aspects of programming and more time on trying to solve the problem than I'm actually trying to solve.
Right.
And for me, and I'm hesitant to say this because I know I'm going to be absolutely flamed by somebody who loves C++, but one of the things I found frustrating with C++ is I spent a lot of time on the housekeeping stuff and a lot of time thinking about how I was going to design the stuff that I was designing to deal with the way that C++ had been doing. Had been designed, and I didn't like having to do that housekeeping, and now I don't have to. I don't ever want to have to again. So.
Right. Mm-hmm. With the VB6 guy, right?
Yeah.
Because there still are a lot of VB6 guys or developers who are coming into the .NET world. What's the paradigm shift that they have to make? What are the five things maybe that they have to really conceptually get to come into the WinForms.net world?
Well, at the simplest level, at the open up a new project, add a button to a form, double click on it, add an event handler behind it, it works in a similar manner. And I'd say, you know, looking back at VB6, I'd say the biggest, the class libraries have changed, the shapes of the components and controls have changed, but the set of controls is roughly the same. So there's some relearning that has to be done there. And I guess the changes we made in the data story, which have enormous downstream benefits, are probably the biggest set of impacts. I'm just thinking, what else? I think the biggest impact is like with learning any new language. It's not the language. It's itself that's the impact. It's the class library. Not the class library. So I mean, if you're a VB6 guy, my advice would be, take the time to familiarize yourself with the .NET, with the .NET framework and the set of classes in it. And you know, buttons work pretty much like buttons. So some of the APIs are different, but it's that taking that time to understand how all the different classes in the framework fit together. There's nothing worse than spending 3 days writing something and tripping over the class that does it for you in one line of code, which I've done lots of times in different frameworks. And the payback on that is that the Windows Forms solved. One of the issues I always had with VB6 was kind of you hit this class ceiling. There was so much you could do, and then if you wanted to go beyond that, you had to do bizarre and tortuous things. That lots of people made a lot of money selling books about the bizarre and tortuous things you could do with VB. I always tended to end up using C for those things because it was a bit easy. But Windows Form solves that in that it's designed to be extensible in a way that VB6 wasn't. So I mean, one of the things we were trying to do with Windows Forms was end up with this halfway house that had the same kind of the RAD experience of VB6, which I've always thought was a really great development experience, combined with some of the power and flexibility that MFC had, because MFC, although it's very powerful once you understand it, it doesn't have the approachability or the designability. In fact, that wasn't really one of its design goals that VB6 has. And so what we were trying to do with Windows Forms was kind of bridge those worlds where you end up with a really great RAD experience out of the box, but you don't hit that glass ceiling. If you want to create a new control, then you do that in exactly the same way as you program the rest of Windows Forms. It's kind of this leap into the unknown, or using declares and other horrible evil tricks.
It's early January when we're doing this interview, yeah. Right? And the PDC is going to be in September.
Yeah.
What's the agenda for developers for the next 9 months? I mean, what would you hope that developers come to the PDC knowing, or that they might not know today?
Well, I don't know. You can always come to the PDC not knowing anything about anything and be refreshed and surprised like the first PDC I went to. That's always a great introduction to my Microsoft technology. I would say that if you're a client developer, spend the next 9 months looking at Windows Forms. You get hold of the beta of WebBee, have a look at what we've done with Windows Forms, have a think about how you can use that to solve the problems you need to solve Windows Forms. I'm really excited about the stuff. From click once, which really puts us in a position to really compete with the web through to the new sets of controls. I'm pretty excited about it.
It sounds like Windows Forms is pretty focused on the corporate developer, right?
It's certainly my bias.
Okay.
And that's certainly, it's an important part of our customer base, in much the same way that it's an important part of the VB6 customer base.
Right.
Windows Forms is flexible enough that you can build applications. So there are companies like Trevely, who have a photo editing application that's a, you know, it's a shrink wrap application. It's built using Windows Forms. HP built the consumer photo printer management software that they ship with their printers using Windows Forms. So there's nothing to still yet. It's, okay. It's a great app.
What I was getting at is the trends I'm seeing is a sizable move to the new smartphones. We're trying to get into the living room, right?
Mm-hmm.
Gates last week showed off the Media Center Vision, yeah, and the set-top box Vision, and trying to get in the, and also the world is becoming more mobile. The tablet PC is finally starting to gain, mm-hmm, some traction. What is Windows Forms doing in each of those three areas?
Well, so
and does smart clients have a story there?
Yeah,
smart clients, yes, only for the corporate desktop.
No, I mean, those things are smart client applications. I mean, the tablet PC is the you know, canonical example of a smart. The kind of things I was talking about earlier, where it's something that has unreliable network connectivity. It's something you want to be able, you know, you want to be able to carry that around. If you're the guy managing a building site, you want to be able to carry the tablet PC around with you. Make sure you don't drop it in a puddle or something.
Yeah.
But since I mean, I don't know. I'm the smartphone that the .NET CF guys are working hard in that space, and that's really about as much as I know about that, to be honest.
So do they take the Windows Forms ideas and...
Yeah, so there's a... So they have an implementation of Windows Forms. That's an independent implementation, but has the same... largely, it's a subset of the API we ship on the desktop. And we work closely with them to make sure that when we add new features, they're in sync with what they're doing. So, for example, one of the things that we did in Wibby was to improve the way we do auto-scaling of forms across DPI and font changes. And it was actually the .NET CF guys who wrote the original spec for that. We picked it up and went back and forth and tweaked. So we cooperated at that level to make sure that what we're doing is in sync with what they're doing, and vice versa. Tablet PC, they were the first OS that shipped with Windows Forms built in. So they were all about Windows Forms, as far as I'm concerned. So.
But I bet at the PDC some developers are going to come to you and say, you know, you did a great job of letting me build Outlook, but now I want to be able to build OneNote and have the inking capabilities and the...
I think that's already there. I mean, I haven't had a chance to play with it, but I did some work with the tablet guys a fair while ago they have Windows Forms versions of their inking control side. You know, it's one of those things that's been there, and I'd really like to have time to sit down and play with it, but I haven't had a chance. But they
so that's an interesting thing culturally about Microsoft, is it's not just one team working on all these different things. And so there's another team over on the tablet team that's working with you to make sure that they follow the Windows Forms look and feel ideas. Right?
That's right. And I mean, it's like I mentioned, the improvements we're making in around programming and managed code in Office in the Wibby time frame, and you know, that's great from our point of view, because we've had lots of feedback from people saying, well, we'd really like to use Windows Forms controls in Office, and we've had some, well, I'm sorry, we don't support that at the moment. The VSTO team, as part of doing their kind of managed code in Office implementation, have gone ahead and made that work, and you know, there's a few bugs we've had to fix, but it's basically, you know, they've taken on the burden of getting that up and running and doing the infrastructure work that needed to be done to make that work. So.
Right.